The story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is one of, if not the most remarkable miracle of Jesus' life before facing the cross. We can't answer the question of why Jesus stepped way out there on this one. With the healing of the daughter of Jairus, she had supposedly been dead only a short time, and perhaps, as it was spoken by Jesus, she was not dead at all. But Lazarus, according to his sister, was so dead that the decay of his body smelled. And Jesus gets the attention of an entire region when he commanded that the stone closing the tomb of Lazarus be removed. He really did not even have the power or authority to make such a command. I'm certain that many who were there scoffed and expected that his instruction would be ignored. I can imagine that the sister of Lazarus was looking at Jesus, her anger at his tardiness turning into disbelief and astonishment when he told them to remove the stone. And I can also guess that it was not until she had allowed his words to move beyond her disbelieving mind and travel down into her grieving and longing heart, that she would then turn to those nearest the tomb and nod, giving them permission to follow the instructions of the teacher. Can you see it too? All of these people are frozen in time, watching these men struggle to move the stone at the entrance to the tomb, and perhaps dumbfounded at the foolery of this situation. What do you think that Lazarus was coming back to? What unfinished business lay before him? Debts, broken relationships, a life like ours that sometimes includes chaos? Lazarus was dead and gone, and now he is alive again. I expect that this returning to life after death is something we might be able to imagine because our Christian faith has conditioned us to believe in life after death. But perhaps it is not something we can get a hold of or understand in the context of a man actually being raised out of his tomb. Maybe we can from another perspective. Could we perhaps sometimes sense that there are parts of us that seem dead? Or if I phrase it a little bit differently, are we living fully alive? Are we giving rise to that which is in our hearts and risking encounters with our dreams? Or are we more simply slowly dying? This miracle of the new life for Lazarus after his death is intended to give us a particular look at the nature of our God. This is our God, who, as we see today in the gospel story, is able to bring new life out of death, not just as an end to the story of Lazarus's life, but as a real and integral part of his living out his life. Could this be our lives too? Here in this rising of Lazarus to new life, we have a reminder and an opportunity to see and know that it is in the midst of our times of living and in the times that deal us death blows in life that God can and wishes to bring new life to us. The life and the teachings of Jesus demonstrate to us again and again that this kingdom of God of which Jesus speaks is something within us to be lived and encountered again and again, moment by moment. Here are a couple of questions that come to my mind. Where am I alive and where am I dying under the weight of the burdens of my heart? Where do I think it is foolishness to even try to unearth or uncover the parts of me which I wish truly were dead and gone? Loss comes to all of us in our lives. We lose friends, we lose jobs, we lose money, we may lose our home, we lose our health, we lose our families. I doubt there is anyone here who does not know something about what loss looks like and feels like. But do we know what new life looks like? While loss is taking its toll on us, how do we find ourselves renewed? I'm reminded of a line from a poem we studied in high school, and I quote, "Time holds us, green and dying, but we sing in our chains like the sea." How do we encounter the renewing and redeeming love of God in the here and now, in this present time, regardless of our circumstances? I have two stories I want to tell you, and I hope they will give life to my meaning this morning. One evening last week, I was standing in a lobby waiting to enter a theater and see a show, and while waiting, I met a mother and daughter who were from New York City. I asked them how it felt to be away during the storm and how their homes had fared. And as we talked, it turns out that they had lived in North Carolina for many years and were now back here working in theater jobs and touring around the United States. The mother had been acting in a show in Winston-Salem, and the daughter was working a show in Durham. And now they were going to stay together for a few days since they could not get home between the present time and their next job. And as we chatted about the storm and about our families and our lives, Marion, who was with me, realized that she had heard this mom/actress speak some years ago at a conference at John Umstead Hospital in Butner, where she had worked for 10 years. Wambui, this 50-ish-year-old mom actress speaker, had been a patient at John Umstead Hospital when she was in her 20s. And she was there for so long that her children were taken away from her. She lost, along with her children, really all of herself, to mental illness during that time of her life. And she told us that she had to fight to reinvent herself and then to get her children back. It was a remarkable story told in 15 minutes while standing in a lobby and made most remarkable by the fact that this former patient of a psychiatric hospital had been invited back as a keynote speaker at their annual gathering of physicians and psychiatric rehabilitation specialists. Wambui laughed as she told this story and said, "The crazy part of me stays in my bedroom now." And I laughed too when she said that. And I said, "I wish the crazy part of me would stay in my bedroom all the time instead of showing up at embarrassing times or embarrassing me sometimes." Sometimes it is not so easy to recognize new life as it was in her story, even for ourselves in our own lives. Last week at the clergy forum, I shared the story of some of my losses from 2003, which some of you may remember. In March of 2003, my great niece, who was the first grandchild in our family to be born, first great grandchild of my parents, she was born with a cord wrapped around her neck twice in March. Then, so she went straight to ICU. Then in May, 2 months later, my mother died. The baby was still in ICU. And then while we were preparing for my mom's funeral, my dad ended up in the hospital. And so he could not attend her funeral, his wife's funeral. So on a Saturday, we buried my mom. And the next day, May 11th, was Mother's Day. And Paige, my great niece, and my dad both got out of the hospital that day. So I stayed around for about 3 days and drove back to North Carolina on Wednesday. And the following day, which was a Thursday and was now 12 days after my mom had died, my dad literally dropped dead. So I turned right around after being home one day and drove back to Ohio for his funeral. A big shock. So that period, I know during that period that I lost myself. I lost my spirit that spring. And I'm really not sure how I got it back. You all were probably a part of my getting it back. But I do know that those losses were transformed in my experiences from pure loss unto gift of life, unto new life. It took a couple of years. But I did come to and still have this strong sense of being glad for the family I've had, the good of them, and the very challenging and painful of them. There is great gift in our knowing one another, in our love for each other, in our lives together. And that gift feels precious and life-giving to me now, instead of feeling like the burden of loss anymore. Indeed, there are many, though little known, resurrection stories all around us. There is mystery in the mystery of new life after loss. There is mystery in the discovery of where new life might emerge within our lives as we live and as we lose and as we love and as we strive. The rising of Lazarus from the dead gives rise to an opportunity for you and I to search in our own lives for the new life of the risen God in our stories. The story of Lazarus gives rise to an invitation for us to ask God to bring new life to the places within us that seem as if they are dying. We do not have to wait until we see God face to face to realize the new life that is possible for us. Where is it that we need an infusion of God's renewing presence in our lives? Yesterday afternoon at 2:00, Elizabeth Adamick got married right here. And our leader, George, who has walked down this aisle or the one in the chapel several times a week every Sunday for the past 14 years, walked his eldest daughter down the aisle looking quite dapper in a tuxedo and bow tie. New life was oozing throughout the ceremony and the reception while all of us witnessed the love of two young people who were beginning a new chapter of their life together. Lives which are clearly filled with adventure and promise. It was palpable in the room. It was visible on their faces. So much joy. Why can't we live there all the time? I wish we didn't want to or need to so bad. What is it that happens to you when you experience times of deadness or when it feels like life has lost the potential for joy or when loss or sadness hangs heavy upon you? Perhaps you have known these times when life feels more like waiting for death than truly living fully. God can and wishes to bring new life to us now. Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, out of death, and into new life. And Jesus' voice also invites you and I to come out when we are living in the loss that is a part of all of life, and we sense ourselves entombed, we are invited to hear the voice of Jesus, hear an echo of our gospel story, inviting us to look for and to move toward this glimpse of the renewal and the newness that is possible for all of our lives, for each and every one of us.